All right, John chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 17 to 24. Father, thank you so much for this time we have to just sit at your feet and learn from you. Speak into our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. John 3, looking at verses 17 to 24, the title of this message is, Did Jesus Condemn the World? This is a great question to ask ourselves. When Jesus came to this earth, did he come to condemn it? By looking around this world and the sin that runs rampant, surely Jesus came to condemn it, right? Well, not in his first coming. In this chapter, Jesus is having a conversation with a very religious man named Nicodemus. He was wondering about the kingdom of God. And so they're having this conversation, and Jesus told him that he must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus was wondering, how can this be? Can a man enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? And Jesus began to tell him how a man can be born again in verse 16, that great verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So in this verse, we see that the heart of God is to love the world. He loved the world of humanity so much that he sent his son to die for them. And whoever puts their faith and trust in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so Jesus continues this conversation with Nicodemus in verse 17. Look what he says there. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So this verse answers the question, did Jesus come to condemn the world? No. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn us, but to save us. Jesus didn't come down on people, but to reach out to people. Jesus didn't have to leave heaven, put on human flesh, come to this earth just to condemn it. He could have stayed in heaven and just left us in our sin, and our sin would have condemned us. Because we know from Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. And he didn't come to condemn the world. The word condemn in the Greek is krino, and it means to judge to condemnation. And when Jesus came the first time, he came to be a sacrifice for our sin, not to judge or to condemn the world. Jesus said in John 12, verse 47, I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. In Luke 19, verse 10, he said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. So in his first coming, it was not to judge or condemn the world. Now in his second coming, he's not going to come as the savior. He's going to come as judge in his second coming. And this verse also refutes the popular belief the Jews had at this time. They taught when the Messiah comes to the world, he's going to judge and condemn the heathen and the Gentiles, but not the Jews. So they were waiting on Jesus to overthrow the Romans and set up his kingdom upon the earth. But this is not going to happen until his second coming. And this is why they rejected him. They were looking for a conquering Messiah, where Jesus came as a suffering savior in his first coming. He's going to come as a conquering Messiah in his second coming, but they were looking for it the first time around. And all of a sudden, this is why when Jesus didn't overthrow the Romans, they were like, forget this guy. He's not the right one. Maybe somebody else. And they rejected him. Look what it says there in verse 18. It says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, this verse says, if you don't believe, you know, the Greek word is pistis, which means to trust in, to place your full weight upon Jesus. He says that you're condemned already. Why? Because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Well, his name is Jesus. Comes from the Hebrew name Joshua, which means Yahweh or Jehovah is salvation. Matthew 1:21 says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. In order to save his people from their sin, it means that they can't save themselves, that they need a savior. That's why Jesus came, to save us from our sin. You can't save yourself. It's not enough good deeds you can do to save yourself. This is why Jesus came as the savior of the world, because we need saving from our sin. See, if you don't accept Jesus as the savior of your sin, then you are still in your sin or you're condemned. Now in verse 19, he explains why people are condemned or why people don't want to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Look what it says in verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. This verse starts off by saying this is condemnation. In other words, if you want to know what condemnation is, it is light has come into the world and men have rejected the light. Jesus is that light. We learned that in chapter 1. Light does what? Light exposes darkness. People don't want to give up their little dark deeds. Those things that you're doing that you don't want anyone else to know about. This is why this verse says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Evil seeks to hide in darkness, dark places. When you feel that you have to hide a relationship from people, are you in a relationship with someone? Are you in a relationship or not? What's the deal? You don't want anybody to know because if you tell them who you're in a relationship with, they're going to call you out and say, you in a relationship with them? And so you hide it. Anything you seek to hide, you hide a relationship. Hide what you're doing or what you're watching. That you got to hide. You got secret codes on your phone that nobody knows the secret codes. And you got passwords and secret passwords on the social media because you don't want somebody coming and finding out this person over here. Hey, let me tell you something. If you're hiding in darkness, it's evil. It's evil. And it's not right. Now, there's nothing wrong. You know, we got to have passwords and stuff because of identity theft and knuckleheads out there trying to take what you worked hard for, what little bit you do have and I have. They trying to take even that. Now, we know we need passwords for that, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. Special locks and codes and special deformations before you even get into the phone and stuff. And special this. Hey, go to Facebook. What's your code on Facebook? Whoa, what are you asking that about? I'll let you in. It's evil. It's evil. And it's not right. Law enforcers say that most crimes take place between the hours of 12 and 4 a.m. Why? Because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Oh, you know this from your partying days or from your partying. Those who are still doing it, you know who you are. The later and darker it gets outside, the better the partying. You know, no party is a good party in the daytime, but a birthday party. That's the only party that's good in daytime. And you know, the later it gets, the darker the party is, the more the drinks will flow and the conversation goes toward who's going to somebody's house and how can I get to know you better? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Look what he says there in verse 20. It says, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest their deeds should be exposed. Now, this verse says, everyone practicing evil hates the light. The word practicing in the Greek language is praso. And so that verb means to perform repeatedly or habitually, which differs from the Greek word that refers to a single act. This is something that you're practicing. This is a habit for you. And this verse says that they don't want to come to the light. Watch this. Why? Lest their deeds should be exposed. Why is it that you are amazed that some people don't want to be around you or even hate you? Because you represent Jesus, who is the light, and they don't want their evil deeds to be exposed or talked about in a negative way. This is why people get so upset when we as Christians say that a certain deed or action is not right, because they don't want their deeds exposed, or they don't want it exposed as being evil. Oh, they're doing their evil deeds for the world to see. And they want everyone to see them. And they want everyone to applaud. And then for them to be on SportsCenter and the cover of magazines and news break, this person is this, and they do their deeds for everyone to see. So they want their deeds exposed, but they don't want it exposed as being evil. That's the thing. As soon as you expose it as being evil, oh, that's where the daggers come out. That's where they begin to hate you, and they hate me because of what we represent. We represent Jesus, who is light. Men love darkness rather than light, lest their, because their deeds are evil, and they don't want to come to their light, lest their deeds be exposed, meaning exposed as evil. They want to be exposed, and they want you to applaud them, and they want you to cheer them on, and they want to be put on front of magazines and covers and talk shows and all kind of stuff. But as soon as you say that deed is evil, now we got a problem. You say it's evil, you never work again in Hollywood. You say it's evil, your job, you are finished for your career. You say it's evil, it's just it. They hate you. Daggers come out. That's why. Because, see, they don't want their deeds to be exposed as being evil. Look what it says in verse 21. But he who does the truth comes to the light, and that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. The conjunction but in this verse shows that it is contrasting what was said in verse 20. In verse 20, Jesus talked about those practicing evil from those practicing the truth. Jesus is encouraging us to come to the light. Come to Jesus, who the light represents. Stop hiding and living in darkness. In other words, why do you want to continue to stumble through life, tripping and falling because it's dark, but come to the light and get cleansed? This is why 1 John 1, verse 6 and 7 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, speaking of God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he, God, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Come to the light today. The tense that the word cleansing is in the Greek language, it means it speaks of a continuous action. It's not we come to the light and we come to Jesus, he cleanses one time. No, we keep coming in the light, he keeps cleansing us. It's a continuous action of all sins. So that's why we need to come to the light, constantly come to the light. When we find ourselves in dark places, come to the light. Come to Jesus and he will cleanse us. Not a one-time thing. He will constantly and continuously cleanse us from all sin. Notice how it says, if we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness. There are a lot of people who say or claim to have fellowship with God or that they are a Christian and they walk in darkness. To walk means to have your manner of life. It's your way of living. If you say you have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, it says we lie and we do not practice the truth. The question is, are we deceiving ourselves today? Are we walking in darkness, but you think that you have fellowship with God because you come to church occasionally? You need to come to the light and come to Jesus and allow him to shed his light in your life and expose all those things that you're doing in the dark as the evil deeds that they are. When we're living in darkness and walking in darkness, like this verse says, we think it is okay what we're doing because it's dark. We can't see it for the evil that it is because we're doing it in the dark. But when we come to the light, Jesus exposes it for what it really is, the evil that it is. When, as long as we're in the dark, we justify it. We justify what we're doing. Because we can't really see the effects of it because it's dark and we're doing it in the dark. But when you expose it to the light, then you can see the effects of it. You can see what it really is for the evil that it is. This is why God encourages us to come to the light. I believe this is why David prayed in Psalm 19, verse 12, cleanse me from secret faults. Because there are things that we do that we don't want anyone to know about that are secret. But God knows, and he wants us to bring them to the light, bring them to him. Why? Because Psalm 139 verse 12 says, it's not on the screen for you note takers. It says that darkness and light are both alike to God. God said, you might as well bring it to me, because not like you can hide in the darkness and I don't see you. He says darkness and light are both alike to him. So it's not like, well, if I hide in the darkness, I know I'm hiding from people, but I'm hiding even from God. God said, I see you. I see you. It's all alike to me. So that's why he says, you might as well just come to the light, because I see you for what it is anyway. I see you. I see what you're doing. Even in the dark. Even in the dark hours, I see what you're doing. So this ends the conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus. Look at verses 22 to 24. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Enon near Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. The first thing I want to bring to your attention is the phrase in verse 22, after these things. After what things? After the conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus. After that ended, Jesus and his disciples came to the land of Judea, and they were baptizing people. We know from John chapter 4, verse 2, that Jesus didn't do the baptizing, that the disciples were used to do this. Now, John the Baptist was also baptizing people near a city called Enon, which was on the western slope of the Jordan River. Earlier, he was baptizing on the eastern side. Now, we also know that Enon was near the city of Salem, according to verse 23, giving us the geographical location of where John was actually baptizing. Now, why did John baptize in this city? Was it because he received a heavenly vision from God to go there? God parted the clouds and said, John, you know, God's voice quivers, you know, John. And John says, yes, God, I need you to go to Enon. Oh, yes, yes. Is that the reason why he went to Enon? Was it because he was fulfilling some Old Testament prophecy? No. John the Baptist baptized people here because verse 23 says, don't miss it, there was much water there. Simple as that. Too often we make finding the will of God very difficult. You talk to some people and, my goodness, if you don't have some light flash out of the sky, some mystical thing take place, you didn't hear from God. John simply went there because there was a lot of water there. Simple as that. This location was perfect for him to do what God called him to do, which was to baptize people. When I came here to Virginia to start this church back in 1994, I did not receive some heavenly vision. God didn't come to me in a dream and all that kind of stuff. It was nothing like that. I had a friend of mine that was in Virginia Beach, pastor in the Calvary Chapel there. He said, bro, there's a need here for our kind of ministry here. I said, oh, really? I came here, saw the need, and said, yeah, there's a need here. I knew there was a need for our kind of ministry, to teach the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book, from Genesis to Revelation. And I said, I came. I met with about 15 people that were driving from the peninsula, from Williamsburg, Newport News, and Hampton, driving all the way to Virginia Beach, who knew about Calvary Chapel. I did a Bible study and a potluck for them. And I still, to this day, I tell this in Calvary Connections, to this day, I told them right after the Bible study, I'll be back next month to start the church. Why did I say that? I had to go home and tell my wife what I just said. We're in California. I said, I told these folks I'm coming back next month. Not next year. Not next month. Pack it up. Shipped out. Simple as that. That's why I came. Why? Because I had a desire and a passion to pastor a church and to teach the Bible. And this was the door that was open to carry that out. God had put it in my heart. So I encourage you to trust the Lord to use your desires, your interests, and abilities to direct you. God works, don't miss this, God works supernaturally in a very natural way. Philippians 2:13 says, God works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. Watch this. God works. The Greek word is where we get energized from. God energizes us both to will, that's desire, and to do the power to carry out his good pleasure. See, this is how God works. And he puts it in your heart and my heart, what he want us to do for his kingdom, for his glory. So go where the water is, like John the Baptist did. In other words, go to the place that would be good for you to do the ministry God called you to do. For me, it was the pastor of church. The door was open for me in Virginia. Guess what? I came. God placed a desire in my heart. Where did that come from? 1 Timothy 3:1 says, if a man desires the office of pastor, he desires a good work. Not only do you need a desire, but you have to ask yourself, is the door open to do what God has called you to do? We know from Revelation 3, 7, and 8, it said that God would open up a door no man could close and close a door no man could open. Finally, do you have a peace in your heart? Colossians 3, 15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Well, the word rule in the Greek is a word that describes an official of an athletic contest, a referee, umpire. In other words, the peace of God will act as a referee or an umpire in your life, calling the balls and strikes, saying, don't you say that. Don't you say that right now. Don't you go there. If you do, you'll be out. Oh, yeah, that was good what you said. That was good to do that. That was safe. And you need all three. Not two out of three. You need all three. You've heard people say before, you know, I just don't have a peace about it. That's what they're saying. The peace of God is saying, you better not do it. Now, let's make this thing practical. Let's say, for those who are single, those who are single. Let's say you got a desire to be married. The door is open for you to be married because you're in a relationship. But something is in you saying, you better not walk down that aisle. And of course, knowing you, you would ignore that. Because at least I got two out of three. And as you're walking down the aisle, the peace of God saying, don't take another step. Don't take another step. And you keep going, smiling at everybody. And come down and you kick yourself 1,000 times because the peace of God was saying, don't do it. Don't do it. It needs to be all three. All three. Desire, a peace, and an open door. Not two out of three. You can have a desire and a peace, but the door isn't open. Don't go kicking it open. Don't go doing that. And there's many folks who kick doors open. All right, here I am. And it's just disastrous. Oh, I had a desire. I had a peace too. But the door wasn't open. It means not now. And because we're a society that can't wait, we kick doors open. I'm the type of guy, I make things happen. I'm a leader. I got to make it happen. And you go and jack it all up. And you kick yourself later on. It needs to be all three. Let me conclude with this. Did Jesus condemn the world? No. He came to save the world. So the next time you find yourself coming down on or condemning the world, know that you don't have the heart of God. Because he said he didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, I always got to check my heart because I can easily look at what's going on in the world and I can be, man, this world, man, it stinks, man, this world, boy, it's evil, it's evil. And all of a sudden God would just tap on my heart and say, but guess what, Tony? I love the world. That I gave my only begotten son for it. And then I shrink on down because it's easy for us to get self-righteous and arrogant and begin to come down on people. And that's not what the Lord did. And watch this. Please keep this in mind. Somebody already done reposted it on or posted it on Facebook. This quote that I'm about to say already. And pointing out the sinful behavior of the world is not judging or condemning. I have to say that because so many folks, because you point out something sinful or something that's evil according to the word of God, because you point out the first thing they're crying, you judge it. Now here's the thing. You are judging if you're doing those same things. That is judging. Let me just use this as an example. If you're saying, hey, you shouldn't be smoking, and you got a pack of Cool Lights in your pocket, then you're condemned. You're judging because you're doing the same thing. If you're saying you shouldn't be drinking and you got a 40 in the car, you're judging. So pointing out the sins of the world is not judging or condemning unless you're doing those things. So if you're not doing those things, that's not judging. And so when those people who only know that one verse in the Bible, when you know that Bible you claim you love, that Bible says somebody don't be judging folks. Well, and I also said, you know, yeah, in that same chapter, he said, do not judge. He also said, you shall know them by their fruit. That takes a level of judging. That takes a level of inspecting. We're called to be fruit inspectors. You claim to be an orange tree, and I see big apples on that tree. So I can make that judgment because it's in the same chapter, the same context. And so keep that in mind. Here's also we saw that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So come to the light. Come to Jesus. Allow him to expose those hidden, dark, secret things in your life so he can cleanse you and make you clean. Bring it to the light. See, as long as you try to keep it in the dark, I'm telling you, it's going to stay evil. That part of your life will stay dark. As long as you're trying to keep it. But see, here's the thing. God sees it anyway. He sees it. He sees it. Finally, finding God's will isn't complicated. Just go where the water is. Go to the place you can do what God has called you to do. Ask yourself, do I have a desire? A peace? Is the door open? If you can say yes to all three of these questions, then go where the water is, like John the Baptist did, and fulfill the ministry God has placed in your heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word to us, Lord. Thank you for your great love. Lord, we pray that you would draw us to the light. The light of your word has already exposed dark, secret, hidden things in our lives. Now, Lord, help us to bring them to you, who is the light. Help us to leave the dark places, the dark, secret things, the evil things that we're trying to keep from people. When you see them all the time. Lord, forgive us. Cleanse us. Help us to bring these things to you. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. And Lord, I pray for those who are here who have not repented and made you their Lord and Savior. May they bring their life out of the darkness into your marvelous light. Draw people to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.